All right, I'll begin from the beginning. Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Crystal R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, May 6th, 2024. This is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book Meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 18, the second paragraph, beginning with, We hope this volume, reading through one paragraph, ending, There are many. Today's readers are Susan G. for the 12 steps, Tricia D. will read the 12 traditions, Lynn S. will be reading the text, and Craig F. will be reading page 164. Our newcomer greeter will be Karen W., and our second hour host will be Roz G. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, May the 5th, 8:30 a.m., special edition meeting is 21,374, 21374. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose. To carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give service, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Susan G. I will now ask Tricia D. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Crystal. Tricia D. from Georgia, a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for being able to serve, and I pass.
Thanks, Tricia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 18, the second paragraph, which begins with, we hope this volume, and ends with, there are many. We will be commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Lynn S. to begin the reading. Lynn, press star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning, Crystal. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. We hope this volume will inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. There are many. When I read these two lines this morning, the words inform and comfort went right into my heart. But the experience that it brought me to wasn't May the 9th, 1989, when I first came in. It was June the 4th, 2023, when I woke up abstinent after a 6-day relapse. And the scales fell from my eyes, and I saw a whole new world of OA available to me. And I got the information. I got it from listening to these meetings, from the other incredible meetings that I didn't even know existed. I got it from listening, from reading the text and really hearing what it said. I got it from listening to the meetings, not multitasking, but listening, pen and paper in front of me. But more important, I got comfort from somebody who was planning to binge their face off and then kill themselves, to waking up abstinent the next day and being informed and comfort, the comfort that I felt in my heart and soul of this whole new recovery available to me. It's amazing how many times God sends out a search and rescue mission and rescues us. And you know what? There's nothing more for me to say. This is what happened 11 months ago. And these short words just really brought home to me how grateful I am that God channeled this book through Bill, and that we have it available now. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks for getting us started, Vanessa from Toronto. We're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday last week on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to approximately 3 minutes to allow as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when you're at 3 minutes, so please wrap up your share as best you can. Who would like to share today?
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Chris M.
Charles H.
Donna G.
Julie P.
Leah S.
All right, so far I've got Bonnie B., Chris M., Charles H., Donna G., Julie P., and Leah S. Is there anybody else who would like to join our first round? All right, so then let's get started with that list. When you get on the line, please do give me your first name, the initial of your last name, and the location where when you share so we can find you on the member list. If I could ask everybody to please press star 1 to mute your line, and we'll get started with Bonnie B., followed by Chris M.
Good morning, Crystal. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Vision. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God today, living in the state of Florida. Gratefully recovered by the grace of God. This very short little paragraph here is so profound because it, for me coming into program, and I came in back in 2014, really didn't find recovery until 2017-18, sometime around, actually when I came into Vision, to be honest, it did inform. And I can remember reading the doctor's opinion for the first time and thinking, oh my goodness, this is me. This is me. And the 12 and 12, this is me. And it did bring comfort. There was comfort. I didn't get recovery right away, but it did inform and there was comfort. My recovery was not instantaneously. My recovery was definitely the educational variety. It took many trips around the mountain. It took a lot of different attempts at this before God really got a hold of me and I could figure out what it really was. I could see what it was for the first time. But every single time I open this book, every single time I hop onto these lines, if I'm willing, and as our opening lead said, if I'm willing to just be quiet and listen for the voice of God in this book and through people, I can hear him. And it goes deeper. And it continues to go deeper. And that's the most beautiful thing about the program for me is that it doesn't stop with I'm no longer binging, restricting, or exercising. I actually made it through the night without binging, right? That was the goal coming in. That's an add-on now. Every single day that I hop onto these lines, and this is my home meeting, I'm anticipating God showing up through the voices of others who he has given freedom to. And the volume continues to inform and it continues to comfort me. And I hope with all of my heart that as he has, you know, as my God has given me freedom, I'm able to share that with other people. Because when I came into the rooms, I was hurting. I was sad. I was confused. I was definitely lost. I really didn't have an answer. And God used this book to direct me to an answer. And I am so very grateful for that. And so I do believe that this volume both informs and comforts. And I know it has done it for me. And I hope to inspire others also. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Bonnie B. from Florida. Next, we have Chris M., followed by Charles H.
Good morning. This is Chris M., calling from New York in recovery today. I've been jumping in and out of this program since 1986, and I did feel informed and comforted all along. However, I didn't... I just wasn't ready, I guess, I wasn't at my bottom. And I wasn't able to work the program and get true recovery. I've had, you know, some bits here and there, physical recovery and emotional and spiritual peace, but I didn't have the whole package. And recently, I was in pretty steady last year, and very involved, and then I stopped coming because I don't. I want to say because I know, but I think well, because I'm an addict, and part of my issue is when I start to feel a little bit better, I decide I don't need my, you know, medication anymore, which is this program. And now I've come back and I feel very comforted and very informed in a way today that I didn't for all the other years. I'm really hitting rock bottom, not necessarily with the food, yes, with the food, but for me more emotionally and spiritually, and feeling like I'm losing a handle on managing my life, and feeling very anxious and depressed and frightened and powerless. And I think that's exactly where I need to be today to embrace the program. But it is a comfort. What a comfort it is to know that there is a plan. I don't have to figure it out. There is a plan for me. And the other part of my disease, which I hear a lot, is I think I can figure it out. Even though I'm in the program, I still think I can figure it out. So I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. And I'm really praying today that I'm done with that and that I'm really ready and willing to do whatever it takes. You know, start at the smallest step to have this recovery in my life. But yeah, you know, that's the amazing thing about this book, especially is the nuggets of beautiful wisdom. Thank you. Wisdom and clarity that it shows us. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Chris M. from New York. Next, we have Charles H. from the G.
So desperation and transformation on a daily basis is the memo for me. You know, although the monkey's off my back, the circus is always in town. And for me to come on a meeting and be like, you know, I'm so recovered, like I'm bulletproof or something, it's just, for me, that's ignorant. And, yeah, listening is an art, you know, I learned so much when I listen. And it's all right to talk, but you know, talk is cheap. You know, put your money where your mouth is. You know, people want to go on all these stages and be like, I'm so recovered, and fly, Robin, fly. And that ain't realistic. Like, you know, it's great to shout great tidings that, you know, I'm recovered from a hopeless condition. Yeah, but it wears off at 12 a.m. Sometimes it wears off, you know, in the middle of a resentment because of ignorance or condescendence. I won't do that 10th step. And then, you know, and then I want to front and tell everybody how recovered I am, standing in front of a million people. You know, that won't get you on the subway. People won't keep, you know, people don't like you enough to hate you. Like, you know, so, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be in a recovered state and to realize that, you know, it wears off because this program needs to be implemented, you know, as much as possible. So have a great day.
Thanks, Charles H. Next, we have Donna G., followed by Julie P.
Hi, this is Donna G. from Pennsylvania, and thank you all for your service this morning. I felt led to share because there's no such thing as coincidental now that I'm walking in the sunlight of the Spirit, that's for sure. And this past weekend, I wanted comforted. I desperately wanted comforted, and I wanted Yeah, I wanted somebody to ease some really hard feelings that I was having. And I had a friend who died unexpectedly. I learned, well, yeah, it was an unexpected death. I had a friend who died. And I just felt so much discomfort and grief and surprise and I don't know, just a mixture of a lot of feelings. And I love the short sentence and the word comfort jumped out. So I looked up the definition because it's just been jumping out at me this weekend in my 10th step, just everywhere. And it said to ease the grief or distress of, and to console. And then I looked up console and it said, comfort someone at a time of grief or disappointment. And I was not only grieving, but the two people I was supposed to be with physically, friends of mine, this weekend, both canceled on me. So I was severely disappointed. Plus I was in grief, had a lot of the sense of ease, of dis-ease and discomfort. And the big book tells us that, you know, we want a sense of ease and comfort. And that's the effect given to me when I eat the food, is that sense of ease and comfort. But it's temporary. And I know that, you know. And so where do I go? What do I do, you know, for the more, you know, fulfilling sense of ease and comfort? And so I wrote just before this meeting, I said there's nothing as a coincidence. I wrote the sentence, we need each other, but true comfort can only be obtained from God. And that's sort of to summarize what I went through this weekend, is realizing, you know, deep down that, you know, it's okay to need people and to want comforted, but the true comfort that I'm looking for doesn't come from the food, for sure. That's really temporary, but not even from, you know, my friends, not even from, you know, I'm the hopeless variety and I cannot use food safely. So it definitely doesn't come there, but I can't use people safely either or anything else. It's, I have to stay connected and I am so grateful for this fellowship. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna G., I think from Pennsylvania. Next, we have Julie P., followed by Leah S.
Good morning. My name is Julie P., depending on the season, from Minnesota or Texas. I am a compulsive overeater living in what I hope today to be in the grace of my higher power. This is such a short sentence, but the thing that really connected with me is the last sentence, there are many. And I just feel so sad when I think about the many that are so close to me. I have a brother killing himself one bite at a time. My mother died from obesity, and it just has plagued my family, this horrible, horrible disease. And I am so grateful today that I know and I have learned from all of you and have received the message from this big book that a cookie will never be more powerful than a power greater than myself. And I am also so grateful that I know it's not my job to get on top of the mountain and shout good tidings, but it's my job to be there if anybody should ask how I am managing my addiction today. And I am grateful the message is with a power greater than myself. And that is the thing that's saving my life today. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Julie P. from Minnesota or Texas. Next, we have Leah S., and then I'll be taking a few more names.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. I am recovered in Brooklyn, New York. And so grateful to be on this meeting. I really wanted to share a couple of days later for the next paragraph. I mean, the second paragraph, but, you know, I have so much to say over here. This volume, for your information, I have the third edition and I also have the fourth edition. Unfortunately, I left the program in 1986, I'm sorry. I left the program in 1986 and I came back in 2012, at the end of 2012, all broken up. I don't recommend anyone to do that. When they say this volume will inform, it doesn't only mean I'm studying everything that this big book is saying. It's about walk the walk and talk the talk. Just do it, you know. And I'm coming out from the Passover holiday, and everyone did such beautiful stuff over here, and everyone was just trying to feed me. And you know what? It wasn't about the food. It wasn't about the food at all, at all. My daughter tells me that she's writing a book, a biography about all of our family, and it interested me more than anything anyone could give me to eat over there. I need food for me to sustain my body, to give me energy. I was much more interested in going with her to interview a 100-year-old person who is a relative, and I had no idea. And it was just like unbelievable experience, you know. These meetings comfort those who are here and who may be affected. I am affected. I needed a lot of help in doing admitting step one. I was affected. I am affected by certain foods. Those are allergic to me. This paragraph, this just two sentences, I could talk on and on and on. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. from New York. Before we continue, let me remind everyone where we're at. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 18, the second paragraph that begins with, we hope this volume, reading through one paragraph ending with, there are many, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. I'll now take another set of names. If you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Julia
W. I'm sorry, there are two people. I got Karen K.
Larry K.
And Natty.
Anjua W.
I want to just Natty confirm, is it Anjua?
Anjua, yeah.
All right, let me just tell you who I've got. I've got Karen K., Anjua W., Larry K., and Nadia E. Did I miss someone?
Melissa B. in Michigan.
Melissa B. Okay. Would anybody else like to share? We have some more time.
Craig, yeah.
Okay, I've got you, Craig. Anybody else?
Justin C.
Justin C. All right, perfect. Let's stop there. Anjua, if I've mispronounced your name, or please do let us know. And if you want to maybe actually spell your name for us just so we can find you on the member list, that would be great. All right, so this is who I've got. Karen K., Anjua W., Larry K., Nadia E., Melissa B., Craig F., and Justin C. But before you share, please do give us your first name, the initial of your last name, and the location where you are from so we can find you on the member list. If I could ask everyone to please press star 1 to mute your line, we'll get started with Karen K., followed by Anjua W.
Good morning, everybody. It's Erin K. in Michigan.
this are or who may be affected, that little part kind of struck me this morning, and it reminded me of, this idea of raising the bottom. And, Bill Wilson, our program comes from AA, and Bill Wilson wrote at one point about how the fellowship had kind of evolved and changed from, really early on, a lot of just really, I guess we call them gutter level alcoholics, people who'd really lost everything to their addiction. And how as it evolved, there were people coming in who maybe haven't lost their jobs, their family, but that we can raise the bottom for those not yet so severely affected. And I could identify with this because, as low as it felt like my bottom was with food, when I came in and heard a lot of, stories and met a lot of people, I could certainly see it can get a lot lower. And I really had to be convinced in my heart that my bottom will get there unless I maintain conscious contact with God every single day, at the spiritual gym each day, to maintain that spiritual fitness. Like, that is step one. I am completely sunk unless I take the action, figure out how do I use willpower in this program. I cannot use it to resist the food, manage and control alcoholic foods. I can't use it against my own thinking, insane thinking of food. But I can use it to go to bed at a certain time every night and wake up in the morning and hit that spiritual gym. And that's what struck me today. Thanks, everybody. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Aaron K. from Michigan. Next, we have Anjua W., followed by Larry K.
Good morning. My name is Anjua W. I'm in Vermont, and it's spelled A-D-W-O-A, if you're looking for me on the member list. I'm really grateful for these two sentences, and was really just looking since last week for any reason to share, but couldn't forget how to unmute myself well. I am really grieving right now, and I know there are people on the line who are open to help. Right now I feel really good about or accepting about my food because I've had a situation that brought willingness to commit my food, which has actually brought a lot more freedom than I've had in the past in program, even with abstinence. So I'm grateful for the slip that led me to that willingness. And I think really what I want to talk about is that I'm finding myself isolating and sorrowful as work demands more, and I think I become more depressed and also just not slept. So I appreciated hearing the person who spoke just before me about I can use my willpower to go to sleep on time and wake up on time so that I have time for my higher power. I think one of the things that has been a barrier for me, so I'm just going to name it, is I am a clergy person, and it is my work, as is the case for many of us, that is causing some of, contributing to my participation in not having time and not taking care of myself. And I always feel afraid and ashamed to say that, lest it make other people feel like that's how God is. It's just how we are. It's how I am, and how the system is of broken people trying to love God and serve God. But I feel shame and embarrassment when I don't feel conscious contact, or when I disappoint other people because because of the mistakes I make in program, and I don't know how to get back. And I hate that that demon obscures my knowledge, my experience of God. But even in that struggle and that suffering right now, I'm still walking forward and taking my steps, however poorly. But
time, please.
I'm really grateful to be here on this journey with my fellows, and thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Anjua W. from Vermont. Next, we have Larry K., followed by Nadia E.
Good morning. Hi, this is Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive reader, and I live in Chicago. You know, it says here that there's many affected. I want to focus in on the fact that there's many affected. I talked to a number of people this weekend. It was pretty devastating. More than five this weekend, that people that were in program that were either contemplating suicide from this disease. Maybe they were physically uncomfortable, certainly emotionally uncomfortable. And this disease doesn't play, you know. And when I talk to those people, I see just how horrible. And these aren't people that are necessarily sitting in the corner crying, sitting in the fetal position crying, and that sort of devastation. No, they just get to a point of just giving up and saying, you know, it might be better off if I'm dead. And, you know, we talk about, so there's a lot of people affected in many ways, and we talk about this concept of rock bottom, and I often think, like, what is that, you know? I think if I had my way, I'd replace the expression with a concept of misery threshold, because that's what William James, you know, the guy that wrote The Varieties of Religious Experience, he talked about a misery threshold, you know, that he was interested in people who lived on the darker side. Many of us get to a very dark place. You know, people who are most comfortable with the dark side suffer from this spiritual malady. Bill Wilson was someone that experienced that darker side. There's a lot of people affected beyond the weight, beyond the physical devastation. You know, people in AA, let's say, they never had a DUI. They never lost everything. You know, not everyone reaches 500 pounds or 50 pounds, but we feel that devastation. There's some, these steps treat a spiritual malady. They bring us perhaps to a deeper, more profound alignment with the higher power, where we can live without the substance, and we can live more fully, and we can live and we can flourish in life. That's what this life means to me today. It affects many of us. And, you know, when I think about this, I really think that this misery threshold is such a big part of this disease. And we have to, those people, I'll wrap up with this, those people have to choose. We make a choice to implement the steps, even when we feel like, I don't even think it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't even know if there's a higher power. And yet we move forward and we trust the process anyway. That takes a lot of courage, and it takes resilience, and it takes grit. I think that's what this is. A lot of us are affected. I agree with Charles. You know, we're affected, but I'm recovered today. I'm in a state of recovery today. Tomorrow's another day. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Thank you, Crystal. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I'll just worry about today, and I do God's will today. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. from Chicago. Next, we have Nadia E., followed by Melissa B.
Good morning, family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto, and it's a gorgeous, sunny day this morning. So I am gratefully recovered by the grace of God, and feeling comfort, feeling comfortable, just being at my home meeting with my lovely family. And thank you, Crystal, for your service. I came into program. I was not obese. I was not bulimic. I was not anything. I was just like, I had this really weird relationship with food. And it was getting to a point where, for me, I reached my bottom. And I came and I received, like I just felt at home. I felt like these people, they're telling my story, sort of, like not, I mean, I could relate. And then in reading the big book initially, I just thought, what is this? Like I was not, like, it just didn't make sense. But I'm beginning to relate to more and more what we're reading. And ease and comfort, that's what I seek all the time. And I'm going on an adventure in August, and it really, really scares me because it's taking me out of my comfort zone. But I'm saying, okay, God, I cannot do this. Let's do it together. And I've been writing 10 steps and sharing them over and over. Like there's more and more coming out, more and more fear. But at the same time, there's more and more comfort coming and understanding with people that I'm sharing it with. So, I'm just going to take it one day at a time. And thank you so much for being there. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Nadia E. from Toronto. Next, we have Melissa B., followed by Craig F.
Good morning. My name is Melissa B., and I'm seeking recovery for compulsive overeating in Michigan. And it's a short paragraph, but there's a lot in it for me. We hope this volume will inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. I've known for years that I am affected by compulsive overeating. But I'm only recently at a point where I recognize my need for Overeaters Anonymous, that I need to be informed and comforted by others who have been on this journey before me and who are further along than I am or who are learning along with me. And although I've only been part of OA for a short time, I have already been informed in many ways, and I'm looking forward to digging into this more and working through the steps specifically for my compulsive overeating. I've been involved in another 12-step program for years, but not one that was specifically related to just food addiction. And I'm realizing more and more that this, for me, may be a core addiction. It's my comfort. It's my my numbing of emotion and in so many ways affecting my daily life. I want something more than that. I need something more than that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Melissa B. from Michigan. Next, we have Craig F., followed by Justin C.
Hi, good morning. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I'm going to concentrate on the word comfort. The paragraph before talked about how we come and understand that this is a disease. It's part of the explanation that this is a disease. And we took some comfort in the idea that I think that's kind of what he's referring to here. We get comfort from the idea that it wasn't just weak character or a lack of moral fiber that caused me to do the things I did, that I have a disease. And, so there's a comfort in that. There's a comfort in knowing that there's a solution for that disease. The title of this chapter, There Is a Solution, it comforts me to know there's a solution. It comforts me to know that I'm not alone. He says there are many people affected, and I'm not alone being affected, and I'm not alone in seeking this recovery. And those things all comfort me. But one of the things I have to be careful of is that I seek comfort, you know, in the food. I sought that sense of ease and comfort that came from that first compulsive bite. And if I'm going to recover, I'm going to have to go beyond being comfortable. I can't seek ease and comfort from food anymore. I can't seek the ease and comfort that comes from being isolated or being alone. I'm going to have to do some things that are going to make me uncomfortable. Make those outreach calls to people that I wouldn't normally talk to, you know, to put my ego on the line. I'm going to have to do a fourth and fifth step and admit to God, myself, and another human being the exact nature of my wrong. Talk about where I screwed up in life. And I'm going to have to get to steps 8 and 9, and I'm going to have to make amends to the people I've harmed. That's not comfortable. That's not comfort. I'm going to have to get to step 12, and I'm going to have to give it away to keep it. You know, I can't hope to maintain my abstinence if I'm not giving it away, if I'm not sponsoring. And, you know, those points, those inventory amends and giving it away points are where we lose so many people, you know, where people start into the steps with all the great intentions. But when it comes to those things that are so uncomfortable for many of us to do, we lose people because we all want to be comfortable. We want
please.
Comfort. And since that's my time, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg F. from Oklahoma. Next, we've got Justin C., and we'll have time for maybe one or two more shares.
Hey, everybody. Justin C., compulsive overeater from Charlotte, North Carolina. So grateful to be here this morning. I've been listening on and off for a number of years, first time sharing. Thank you all for being here, for showing up today. You know, I'm so grateful that that it's not just the information. I'm not just being informed. It felt that way for a while for me. I felt imprisoned in a way when I was being sort of deeply informed of this, you know, this physical allergy, this mental obsession, because I still felt like the solution was me, you know, was still my own willpower. And that somehow I was broken, that I was failing on that front. And, you know, the fact that there is a solution, you know, that second part of it, the true comfort that people have shared about today, you know, which is, coming to rely upon God, you know, not my willpower. And, you know, this faith that I am growing closer and closer to in that truth, in that capital T of this program has come so much through this line and through hearing all of you, you know, share your strength, your experience that you have stayed in those actions, you know, to do what you need to do to have that relationship. And that is exactly what what I'm attracted to and I want myself. And so for today, that's what I'm doing in this moment. And so very grateful. Thanks for allowing me to share. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Justin C. from North Carolina. We do have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Eileen, Maryland.
Susan G. in Tennessee.
Sorry, I heard Eileen from Maryland, and there was, I think, Tricia something.
I said Tricia Deeb, but there's someone else that would like to go ahead of me. That's fine, too.
Was there someone else who wanted to take a turn? All right, so it'll be Eileen from Maryland and Tricia D.
Good morning. Hi, this is Eileen D. From Maryland, and I think just dwelling on the word comfort, I think of in my faith tradition, comfort, comfort my people. And I always thought of it as sort of a historical rather than a reality of my comfort. I always thought it was historically a sweeping of things people were comforted in during times of, you know, tsunamis and stress and plagues. But now I realize that, that the discomfort within me was that I was trying to control things, that I was, you know, in charge of the universe. I wasn't. I absolutely knew better. But when it came to my little world and my spirit, you know, if things didn't go my way, I would take comfort in the thing that is not my friend. It's just food. But I did that for years and would have that quick fix, and then I would wear it. You know, I'd wear it, and I would be sad, and I would be, I'd hide it with laughter, and I'd hide it with bravado and busyness. But the reality is, when I came in these rooms, I was broken. And I know God loves the brokenhearted, and I was broken. I was genuinely broken. And I didn't know how to unbreak. You know, I couldn't put me back together again. I was the Humpty Dumptress or whatever. I just couldn't do it. But you all did. You all loved me through, no matter how I looked, no matter how I felt. I would go into a room and come out better. I'd come out richer. I would come out little by little more whole. And that's the comfort of this program for me. And knowing that, you know, my God does comfort me, but I can come in the room and people with skin on can comfort me too, because you've all been there, done that. We know, looking at the other things and almost being covetousness of people who can eat like I can't eat anymore. So that took some time too. So it's a journey. I'm delighted to be on the line because I get to talk about the real joy and the real peace that comes when you stay until the miracle appears. And even though it's one day at a time, sometimes 1 hour at a time, it's real, it's genuine, it's authentic, and it works. So thanks to all of you for the recovery. I pass.
Thanks so much, Eileen B. from Maryland. And Tricia D., we have about a little more than 2 minutes if you want to take that.
All righty. Thank you, Crystal. This is Tricia D. from outside Athens, Georgia. And when I read this paragraph, and I am a compulsive overeater, I said, you know, this paragraph reminded me of when I was a newcomer and I was just floundering, going, what is wrong with me? And I've realized since an early age how I always had a fear of not having enough. And I wonder why I always thought that. I was the fifth born of 8 children and always had plenty of food in the house. I always had this fear of not having enough food to eat. And it transferred also because I'm an addict. Enough food, enough validation, enough love, enough, you know, being appearing perfect. But I realized this beautiful book, this volume, this big book, Envision for You, taught me that I have a disease of more. And it's a disease which I was born with. And when I realized that, it made sense that why I always had this fear of wanting more and turning to, you know, but it was, the food was the solution, but the problem was the buildup of emotions. And that's 1, 2, and 3. I can't. God can. I'll let him. The speaker on Sunday edition yesterday talked about the body can handle it, and, you know, but the food has more power than me. You know, she hits rock bottom. My mind won't leave me alone. It's screaming for more. But what I love is this chapter on There is a Solution. It's teaching me that there is a solution, follow the steps, trust in your higher power, and I'm learning to love myself for exactly who I am for the first time in my life. And it's been the best 4 years of neutrality from flour and sugar and just finding you know, who I am inside. And that has been the most beautiful part of this program. And I just welcome all newcomers. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. And you will find those promises on page 83 do come true. And I'm a living testimony. And everybody here who has shared as well. Thanks for letting me share, Crystal. I pass.
Thanks so much, Tricia D. from Georgia, for taking us out. That's all the time we have for sharing. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Monday for me. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, May the 6th, 2024, is 21,375, 21375. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Craig F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, so to keep you until then.
Yes. Excuse me. Thank you. It's still Craig F. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until